He liked coming home, finding her there. Maybe he got some twinges about just how much he liked it, but one look at her and they died away. He supposed he could work up some twinges over how easily the twinges died away, but that edged into paranoid territory.
So, what are we having?
This very healthy salad, which includes some of your own nasturtium.
I have nasturtium? What is it?
She tapped her finger at the bold orange and yellow flowers on the counter.
Flowers?
That one set him back.
We're eating flowers?
They're not only edible and pretty, but very tasty, as are their leaves, which are already in the salad.
Okay, but you go first.
Coward. She plucked a petal off a flower, popped it in her mouth. Yum.
Uh-huh. What are we eating besides flowers?
The amazing mac and cheese I made, not from a box, but from scratch.
Get out. How is that even possible?
I asked that question when Hallie and Roy started arguing about which of their mamas made the best mac and cheese in the history of mac and cheese. I made some comment about those handy microwave packages of same and was met with serious disdain. I mean, serious. Anyway, she picked up her wine, drank, gestured. After my humiliation came inspiration. I went with Hallie's because she called her mother right then and there, rattled off the recipe, adding any fool could make it. I am that fool. She gestured again, drank again. And let me point out right now, there was nothing easy about it. You'd think, mac and cheese, how hard could it be? I can't even talk about it. The oven timer buzzed. Well, here we go. She went over, opened the oven door.
It smells good, Zane said over her shoulder. It looks good.
It does.
It does.
She slid on mitts, took it out to set on the counter where they both studied it. She took out her phone.
You're going to take a picture of it?
Don't judge me, Walker. She picked it up again, carried it outside. Bring the salad and the wine. We'll start with the salad while it cools down some, she told him. And I'll drown myself in the wine if the mac and cheese sucks. She had flowers on the table again, different ones in a blue mason jar she must have brought over or picked up somewhere. He looked at her while she served the salad, the short cap of russet. He'd decided to stick with russet. Hair. The depthless blue eyes, the diamond-edged cheekbones.
I could get used to this, he decided. Coming home to a pretty woman, a pretty table. A hot meal?
I wouldn't get used to the hot meal. I swear to sweet little plastic baby Jesus, digging a hole in rocky ground with a pickaxe is easier than cooking. I can say that because today I did both.
Renaissance woman. The salad's good. Even, strangely, the flowers. So, new clients?
Yeah, Patsy and Bill Marsh.
I know them. They're friends with Emily and Lee. Serious boat people.
That they are. I'm giving them lakeside appeal versus curb appeal because lake. And I've been promised or threatened with a day out on their boat.
Don't like boats?
I like them fine. I've been out on one with an engine, even kayaked a few times. But I've never been on a boat with a sail. I love watching them, the way they just seem to glide along like magic. I guess you know how to sail.
Yeah, I grew up with boats. I haven't been sailing in years. Probably a trigger.
Which he hadn't realized until that very moment.
I should test that out. I could rent one. Take you sailing.
Seems like I ought to try it eventually, since Lake. Are you ready to risk the main event here?
More than.
Okay, here goes. With some trepidation, she dished up the mac and cheese. Watching Zane, she took a forkful. Together on three. One, two, he ate, angled his head, then holding up a finger, forked up another bite.
It's freaking great.
With obvious surprise, she studied the next bite on her fork.
It's really good. Who knew?
Got a nice little kick, too.
Tabasco. Still harder than digging holes, but ultimately just as satisfying. She wiggled her eyebrows. So what was your plan if it did indeed suck?
I was working on brutal yet sympathetic honesty with a bolstering, hey, you tried, since if it sucked, you'd know, and any attempt to pretend it didn't would be seen rightfully as patronizing bullshit.
I think that's acceptable. I need to tell you about my other new clients.
Sure.
They moved here last winter, moved into Lakeview Terrace. They bought the house you grew up in.
He said nothing for a moment, but stopped eating, topped off both wine glasses. Okay.
She knows Britt. They both work at the clinic. Charlene Ledbecker. She's a doctor. He's an engineer, works in Asheville. They're expecting their second child next fall. I wanted to give you a picture of them.
All right.
I didn't know until Charlene mentioned that Britt used to live in the house, what house it was. They want help with the grounds, a couple times a month and seasonally. They want to learn how to take care of the grounds. You don't care about any of that.
Not really. So you made me mac and cheese.
Inspired by Roy and Hallie's argument, she reminded him, what's more comforting than mac and cheese? I had to tell you, even knowing it would stir up bad memories.
Food as a security blanket?
She caught the tone, recognized irritation. It wasn't meant to be patronizing, Zane. I wanted to do something to balance out having to upset you. And instead, I've pissed you off.
What pisses me off, Darby, is the fact you clearly felt you had to tiptoe up to telling me you landed a client who happens to live in that house.
She actually felt her spine stiffen, her temper simmer up toward boil. It wasn't an insult to your manly balls. The tiptoeing was as much, maybe more, for me. I felt guilty, right or wrong. I felt guilty profiting over something that hurt you.
It doesn't hurt me, and my balls are insulted. I wouldn't have come back to Lakeview if I couldn't handle it, and both my balls and my brain are aware someone lives in that house. And if the people who do came to me on a legal matter, I'd handle that. Why wouldn't I?
Darby took a moment herself, then said two words. Tracy Draper. He started to speak, felt the pin jab the air out of his righteous insult.
Yeah, well, you pointed out I was stupid about that, so you should have known you were being stupid about this.
Sounds like a wash to me, and you got mac and cheese out of it. I don't mind fighting, but if you want really stupid, it's fighting because somebody had concerns for your feelings.
We're not fighting.
At her long, slow stare, he blew out a breath.
We were disputing, and apparently we've settled the dispute.
She smirked. Lawyer.
Guilty. Look, I spent some time hating the house. I even drew a picture of it, and I can't draw for shit, in my journal back then. Drew it surrounded by the nine circles of hell.
You read Dante as a teen?
I read everything. It was one of the most surefire ways to go somewhere else for a while. I got over hating the house, or mostly. You working there isn't going to bother me. Don't let it bother you.
Then I won't.
See? Dispute settled. I'm having more of this.
He piled more mac and cheese on his plate.
You?
Half that.
How would you feel about leaving some of your stuff here instead of hauling your clothes in and out in your duffel?
It took her off guard, shot her off balance. One minute they're disputing, and the next he's making room in his closet.
And I could leave a few things at your place,
he continued in the same easy tone,
for those rainy days when I bring takeout after work and give you a hand with painting.
I really thought, that first time, this was just going to be about good, easy sex.
It is. Just not only about.
No, she thought. It wasn't just about. He'd already given her a key and the security code. For convenience. And leaving some clothes ranked the same, didn't it? Convenient. Why make a big deal? Who does the laundry? She demanded.
I could say you do it at your place, I do it here, but you're here more than I'm there, so those aren't equitable terms. We take turns.
I can agree to that. I'll bring some stuff to leave tomorrow.
God!
She shoved her plate away. I don't care how good it is, I can't eat anymore.
Tell you what, we'll get these dishes out of the way, then walk this off. We'll stroll around here and you can tell me the names of stuff that's blooming even though I'll never remember.
You'll remember eventually. He smiled, polished off his mac and cheese.
It's sweet you really believe that, darling.
Sipping wine, Darby considered. They'd had their first fight.
Sort of.
Resolved it. They'd agreed to leave personal items at each other's places. And he'd called her darling for the first time in that gorgeous, high country drawl. No doubt, absolutely none, they'd just entered the next phase, whatever that turned out to be, of their relationship. Chapter 18. Graham paid cash for his motel rooms on his careful trip from Raleigh to Lakeview. He used the free Wi-Fi and Eliza's tablet to search for information about Emily, about Detective Lee Keller, about his own obviously inept defense attorney, the prosecutor, the judge who'd presided over his case. All of them, every one, had played a part in ruining his life, in humiliating them. He would ruin theirs. Every one. Unfortunately, the judge had died 6 years before, so Graham could only gain satisfaction from imagining him rotting in hell. The prosecutor had retired and moved to Solomon's Island, so he would have to wait. His own attorney, also retired, still lived in Asheville. So, soon for him. He knew, because Eliza had told him on one of her visits, that his whore bitch of a sister-in-law had married the dirty cop. He knew the cop was now chief of police in Lakeview, and they had two sons. So many ways to hurt them. As he sat in his motel room, with the TV on to alert him if and when his own face flashed on screen, he imagined all of them. He thought setting that old relic of a house on fire with all of them inside would serve. He considered Dave Carter, the busybody asshole neighbor. Oh, he'd played a part. You play, Graham thought, you pay. In careful block print, he added Dave Carter to the list in the notebook he'd bought at Walmart. Maybe a terrible accident. Cut the brake lines on his car. He could look up how to do that. You could find out anything on the internet. Then, of course, most importantly, there were the spawn who'd betrayed their own father. The father who'd put a roof over their heads, clothes on their backs, food in their bellies. The father who'd given them life. The father who would take those lives, take them with his own hands. He read over the list of names again and again, meticulously wrote down any and all information he remembered or could find about each and every one. He detailed every grievance he had against them, and those filled line after line after line. Before he slept, he whipped himself through 50 push-ups, 100 crunches, rotated to squats, lunges. Every morning he repeated the routine, using the long list of grievances to drive his body through. When he slept, he dreamed of himself in surgery, performing miracles only God could match. Like God, he'd bring judgment against those who'd betrayed him. When he woke, he didn't shave. He hadn't shaved for 3 days now and felt the deepening scruff helped mask his face. He'd combed product through his hair to cover the gray, and would continue to do so as he let it grow. Along with the notebook, he'd bought a ball cap, sunglasses, cheap tennis shoes, jeans, t-shirts. He'd learned a few things in prison, and blending, not bringing attention to himself, was key. Just as switching the license plates, twice now, on his car was key. Driving into Lakeview had him shaking with anxiety and excitement. They'd changed things. A stoplight where none had been. Different stores, restaurants. It infuriated and disoriented. He had to pull over to get his bearings, to breathe through what he recognized as, he was a fucking doctor after all, an anxiety attack. Sweat popped out on his face, his heart hammered. His vision blurred, doubled for an instant. Then it snapped clear when he saw Zane striding down Main Street as if the son of a bitch owned it. He'd let his hair grow to faggot length, broadened in the shoulders, put on more height, but he knew his own goddamn son when he looked at him. and it took every ounce of willpower not to leap from the car then and there and beat the bastard to the ground like he deserved. That had to wait, he reminded himself. That had to be a private moment. He watched Zane climb steps to a porch, walk into a building. He considered going in after him. It could be a private moment, but he saw movement at the large front window. A woman, vaguely familiar, Zane joining her so they were framed in the glass. His offices. Thought he was a big shot now, but Graham knew the truth. Spineless bastard couldn't make it in Raleigh, so he'd come slinking back to Lakeview. And in Lakeview, the betrayer would finally meet justice. Calmer, he drove into Lakeview Terrace. Changes there, too, he noted. They'd put in a playground for people who couldn't keep their children at home where they belonged. He saw kids on swings, slides, kids biking, many without parental supervision. Disgusting. He drove to his home, no longer the largest in the development, as several status-seeking neighbors had added bonus rooms over the garages or sunrooms, covered decks. Again, he pulled over, this time to consider the house. His house. The strangers who lived in it were nothing more than squatters. Back when the world was sane, he could have had them evicted with a snap of his fingers. Now he'd become the interloper. Because of Zane. He thought about breaking in, seeing what the squatters had done to his home. He'd find out their names, add them to his list. As he considered how he would deal with them, a woman came around from the back, walked toward the truck in the driveway. Dressed like a man, he thought. Hair short as a man's. Probably a lesbian. Intolerable. He should march right over to his house, drag her to the ground by her dyke hair. But when she glanced his way, nerves flooded through him, shook through him as he punched the ignition, hastily drove away. Not the time, he consoled himself. It wasn't nerves, but willpower. He locked himself in his motel room, poured a glass of scotch to settle himself again. But only one. He had work to do. He sat down with Eliza's tablet and his list of names, began to search social media. He found the website for Zane's law offices, for Emily's creaky old bungalows, easily enough. As he studied them, minutely, his rage bubbled hot. Emily's had a Facebook page for the business, but her personal one she'd kept private. Though he'd learned a thing or two in prison, he didn't have the skill to hack through it. Neither of her brats had public social media, nor did Brit or Zane. But he found what he wanted thanks to Eliza's idiot mother. A treasure trove of photos, of family news for all to see. Everything he needed spread out and posted by the chatty old bag. He studied a photo of the pathetic family billed as Zane's first family cookout at his new house. Another one of Emily's brats and Zane. Grandsons, Zane and Gabe in front of Zane's house, with endless vomit-inducing commentary on Gabe's interest in landscaping, his summer job. He read every revolting word in case he could use any of her blather. He studied the house. He'd seen that house on his careful drive around the lake, the ridiculous one high on the hill. Now he knew just where to find Zane for that private moment. Zane shot awake when his security lights flashed on. When he rolled out of bed, Darby didn't even stir. He knew from experience the woman could sleep through cannon fire until her internal alarm went ping. On his way to the terrace doors, he grabbed pants, jerked them on. He caught the red glow of taillights heading down his long drive. Somebody made a wrong turn, he decided, and realized it when the motion sensors turned on the lights. Satisfied, he went back to bed, where Darby slept like the dead. He'd never known anyone who so perfectly fit the cliché. Once she hit the off button, she barely moved or made a sound until morning, which made her an excellent bedmate for a chronically light sleeper. He drifted back off, only to be awakened again about an hour later by his phone. His heart leaped. Another cliché, but calls at 4 in the morning meant trouble. So did the readout from his security company.
Zane Walker.
Though it was hardly necessary for Sleeping Beauty, he walked out of the bedroom while he talked to the security company about a break-in or attempted break-in at his offices. Though they assured him the local police had been notified, he went back to the bedroom, turned the lights on low to find clothes. His phone rang again.
Zane, Silas.
I just talked to my security company.
Yeah, somebody heaved a rock through your office window. Look, we've had 3 calls tonight like this. Must be some asshole kids.
Son of a bitch.
I got a good look through the window here, and that's the only damage I see. You're going to want to come in, but there's no rush. Nobody got in. I can see the damn rock lying on the floor in there, and your doors are secure.
Okay. I'm coming in, but I'll pull it together first.
Take your time. We've got this.
He dressed, got his insurance file out of his home office. Downstairs, he made coffee, then made a second cup, one that wasn't coffee, but oversweet coffee-flavored milk. He took both up to the bedroom. He could leave a note, but hell, her eyes would pop open in about 20 minutes anyway. The fact they did now surprised the hell out of him. She said,
"Coffee."
The smell of coffee wakes you out of your coma, but lights, ringing phones don't make a dent? What are you?
Coffee,
she repeated, and took the one he held out. Who called?
Somebody threw a rock through my office window.
What? No.
Her eyes blinked clear.
Oh, Zane.
Apparently the somebody's having a spree doing that around Lakeview tonight. I'm going to head down, take a look.
Do you want me to come?
She shoved her sweep of bangs aside.
I can be dressed in like 2 minutes.
No, but thanks. It's like Silas said, probably some dumb kids. I'll get it sorted out, have breakfast in town.
Okay. Sorry, this sucks.
Me too, and it does.
He leaned over, kissed her.
See you later.
Text me, she called out. Let me know what's what.
Sure.
She drank half the coffee in bed, an indulgence, while her brain woke up. Hell of a way for him to start his morning, she thought. Vandalism never made sense to her. Creative tagging on abandoned buildings she could see as urban art, but out-and-out vandalism made no damn sense. What satisfaction or thrill did someone get from destroying someone else's property? She got up, and since she'd showered the night before, with Zane, pulled on work clothes. She'd top off the coffee, have some cereal, check the weather forecast, and get an early start on the waterfall. As she wandered downstairs, she switched on lights. After setting Zane's coffee maker for half a cup, she checked his kitchen tablet for the weather. Hot, humid, probable late afternoon or evening thunderstorms. Typical. Yawning the night off, she poured cereal, got out the blueberries she'd stocked for overnights. As she started to doctor her freshened coffee, the security lights went on. Her first thought? Deer. She sprayed regularly with her homemade organic repellent, ordered Zane and her male crew members to pee around the shrubs, another fine repellent in her estimation. She'd planted plenty of deer-resistant plants. But you just couldn't trust Bambi. She disengaged the alarm, pulled open the accordion doors, and started out with every intention of chasing off the invaders. It hit her like a guided missile, knocking her back, crashing her against the kitchen island and onto the floor. For a moment, dazed, she imagined a 10-point buck charging in. Then she saw the man.
So Zane's got himself a little whore. One built more like a boy. Figures.
He pulled the doors shut behind him.
Saw your truck. I just needed you to let me inside while he's down in town. Thanks for that.
He started toward her, fists curled tight.
Now you're going to stay down. Stay quiet.
The hell she would. She jumped up, spun, planted a hard kick in his midsection. Instinct had her running when he stumbled back. She could get outside, lose him in the woods. But how would she warn Zane with her phone still on the charger? So she whirled back, heart racing, and dropped into a fighting stance. She'd stand her ground. Eyes glinting, he charged. Fast, she thought. He's fast. And she used his momentum as she pivoted aside, followed up with a kick to his kidneys. He pitched forward, went to his knees. Now you stay down. He came up, fists flailing. She blocked a punch with her forearm, felt the force of it scream straight to her shoulder. Ducked and came up with the heel of her hand, felt the crunch as she broke his nose. He got one past her, landed a blow on her still singing shoulder, aimed for her face with his left. She batted his arm away, shot a kick higher, struck his jaw. And when he reeled back, planted her boot, two hard, fast kicks, in his crotch. This time he went down, stayed down, and she ran. Zane stood in his office, hands in pockets. Just broken glass, he reminded himself. Nobody hurt. Easily repaired. Insured. But it upset and disturbed him that anyone would deliberately destroy what was his.
The only person I've had any trouble with since I got back would be Clint Draper, he told Silas.
His brother-in-law, dark blonde hair still a little bed-rumpled, his raw-boned face still carrying the night's stubble, nodded.
I know it. We'll be talking to him. But like I said, we got three calls for broken windows all within about 15 minutes.
All on Main Street?
I don't think so. I need to check on that. Ginny was on call tonight and contacted me when your office got hit. She handled the first two, but figured I'd want in. I'm 2 minutes away and family. Speaking of, I felt like we had to let the chief know.
Silas shook his head at the rock, at the shards of glass.
It's just not the sort of vandalism we get around here. Some mailbox bashing along the lake road, kids TPing houses now and then, keying cars and the like.
Well, if you catch them and they want a defense attorney, they can count me out.
Can't blame you.
His radio signaled.
Hold on.
Silas paced away, paced back after a brief conversation.
The chief's on his way. He wants you to stay put. He needs to talk to you.
His brother-in-law had a good cop face, but Zane knew him too well to miss the worry.
What is it?
He's contacted the local LEOs in Raleigh just to make sure Graham Bigelow's where he's supposed to be.
Why?
Dave Carter's place got a rock through the window, and so did your old house in Lakeview Terrace. That makes a connection, Zane, so let's make sure.
Why the hell would he... Darby.
Fear chilled him straight down to the bone.
She's alone at my place.
He rushed out before Silas could stop him and screamed away from the curb just as Lee pulled up.
Get in,
Lee shouted at Silas.
We just got a 911 from Zane's house.
Darby's there.
I know. She made the call.
The Porsche hit 80 before the town limits, and Zane didn't ease up. He hit the hands-free to call Darby, to tell her to hide, lock herself in and hide, and the phone rang.
Darby, I need you to find a safe place. Lock yourself in. I think Graham's going to try to get in the house.
Too late. I'm okay. I called 911 first.
I'm nearly there.
I'm okay. I'm all right. I can see you. Slow down. Jesus, don't wreck the car. I'm okay.
He could see her now in the wash of security lights, sitting on the steps of the porch. Her face so white, the blood on it shined like neon. She started to get to her feet as he screamed to a stop, wobbled, sat again. He lifted her straight up.
Where are you hurt? What did he do to you? Which way did he go?
I'm not hurt. He tried, but I'm not really hurt. He didn't go anywhere. He's inside.
Everything in him went hard and cold.
That's Lee coming. You hear the sirens? You stay right here. Wait for him. Stay out here, Darby.
He went inside, ready, even eager now, to take on the man who'd put blood and bruises on what was precious to him. And found Dr. Graham Bigelow on the floor, unconscious, his arms and legs restrained with bungee cords.
I had some in the truck, Darby managed from the doorway.
You did this?
I feel a little sick.
When she stumbled back outside, Zane scooped her up again, sat her down.
Head between your legs. Breathe slow, darling. Just breathe.
He waited for Lee to pull up behind his car, for Lee and Silas to leap out.
He's inside. He won't give you any trouble. Darby saw to that. Is she hurt?
Does she need an ambulance? I don't think so.
He kept rubbing her back, slow, steady strokes.
Just shaky. If she needs to go to the clinic, I'll take her. You can decide if he needs one.
I'm all right, she said again, but kept her head between her knees. Silas came back out, crouched in front of her. He used the same gentle tone Zane had heard him use with Audra.
Sweetheart, did you hogtie that son of a bitch with bungee cords?
It's what I had handy.
How about we get you inside, get you sitting down with some cool water? If you don't want to go to the clinic right off, I can call Dave Carter. He'll come look you over. Do that, Silas, Zane told him. I should have thought of that.
I'm not really hurt, Darby began, only to have Zane pick her up. And I can walk.
No,
he said, and carried her inside. He walked straight past Graham and Lee, who was switching out bungee cords for cuffs, carried her back to the great room sofa.
Sit.
Do I get a milk bone?
Knock it off.
He walked to the kitchen, got her a bottle of water, walked back, dampened a cloth, and unbalanced her mood by gently wiping the blood from her face.
It's not yours,
he murmured, and kissed her cheek. No, it's his. I broke his nose. That was for you. That broke him. He gripped her free hand, pressed it to his lips, just held it there. Then he looked into her eyes.
I don't know what to say to you.
Nice work.
Oh, Jesus, Darby.
Here. She held out the water. I think you could use some, too. Then maybe we just sit here a minute and pull ourselves together. Lee found them like that, sitting, passing the water bottle.
Dave and Jim are on their way. Silas is on Bigelow, and I've got another couple of officers coming. He's going to need some medical attention, so we'll get him out of here. Honey, are you hurt?
Not really.
There's blood on your shirt.
That's his. I broke his nose and I kicked him in the face. And the balls. I've got a black belt. Kung fu. Blowing out a breath, Lee sat.
Are you steady enough to tell me what happened?
Yeah. I was just shaky before. I never actually... Training and competitions aren't the same. I was down here in the kitchen and the security lights went on. I figured deer. I use repellent, but they're tricky. So I turned off the alarm, opened the back door to go out and chase them off. I didn't even see him coming. He charged me. That was his mistake.
Mistake?
If he'd punched me, he'd probably have put me down, maybe knocked me out, but he just barreled in, knocked me back against the island, I think, and I fell. I was a little dazed, but not out. I think I saw him yesterday, parked across the street from the Ledbecker's place.
Did you notice what kind of car?
Black four-door sedan. I don't really know cars, so I don't know the make, but I think a luxury car. It looked new, but I'm not sure.
Okay. He knocked you down, then what?
He called me Zane's whore, said something about seeing my truck.
The lights came on just after 3, Zane put in. I saw taillights heading back down when I got up to check. He must have driven up here, seen I wasn't alone.
He'd have seen me and the truck at the Ledbecker's, put that together. Wait, he said he'd needed me to let him in while Zane was in town. The broken window at the office. On a hiss, she tapped a fist to her head. I played right into it. Well, he didn't get away with it, did he? He was going to make sure I stayed quiet, stayed down, and he came at me. I got up. I have to say he seemed amused and pleased I was going to fight back. But he didn't know I could kick his sorry ass. Tears trickled out, had her pressing her fingers to her eyes. Sorry.
Don't you be sorry, Lee ordered. We can do this later.
No, I'm good. He doesn't really know how to fight, just how to punch and hurt. I heard him first, but he kept coming. I knocked him down and started to run, but I realized I didn't have my phone, and maybe I could lose him in the woods, but I couldn't warn Zane, call the cops. So I decided to finish it. She took a minute to swipe away tears, drink more water. He got up, and I did. Finish it. When he was out, I ran out to the truck. The bungee cords were handy, and I wanted to get him restrained in case he woke up before I could call for help.
And that's about that.
She started to get up. Zane pressed her back.
I want a Coke.
I'll get it. Sit down.
When he walked to the kitchen, he saw Dave rush in with his partner Jim behind him. And Graham sitting up, hands cuffed behind his back, his face a mass of blood and bruises.
Good to see you, Graham.
Dave paused to give him a sneering look.
Good to see you just like this. You take him, Jim. I'll take the lady.
He started back, his eyes meeting Zane's for a long moment. Then he crossed over to Darby, crouched, smiled.
How's it going, champ?
I'm okay.
I'll be the judge of that. Any dizziness? Nausea?
No. I had a little of both right after, but it was just reaction. He opened his kit, took out a blood pressure cuff.
Your knuckles are swollen and bruised. You've got some bruises coming up on your left arm.
I blocked a punch. He's strong.
He likes to gut punch.
He didn't get one in. He only got one by me, I think. Adrenaline blur. In the shoulder, and it was feeling it from the block. I'm a little rusty, or he wouldn't have gotten one by me.
If that's a little rusty,
Lee commented,
I'd like to see what you can do when you're all in.
I'm with you,
Dave agreed.
I need to see the shoulder.
When she started to take off her shirt, Lee pushed up.
Sports bra, she said. You see more at the gym. Don't worry about it.
Her shoulder protested, but setting her teeth, Darby peeled off her t-shirt. Twisting her head, she got her first good look.
Okay, shit. He got one by me, all right.
Her back's bruised and scraped.
Zane's voice came out deadly calm, in direct opposition to the blood rising hot under his skin.
It's a little sore, that's all.
To prove it, she lifted her elbow, then her arm, rolled the shoulder back, rolled it forward.
Nothing's pulled or broken. Full range of motion. I know what it feels like when it's really hurt. It's not. A couple of Motrin will handle it.
After a visit to the clinic,
Lee said. I don't...
I'll take her,
Zane interrupted.
It only adds to the case against Bigelow if you're under a doctor's care for injuries he inflicted,
Lee pointed out.
It would help us out.
Okay, okay. But I need to get the crew started. They're probably here and wondering what the hell. Give me a minute.
When Dave went out to consult with Jim and Lee walked away to answer his signaling phone, Zane got a bag of peas out of the freezer.
Never eat them,
he said as he handed Darby the Coke, laid the cold bag on her shoulder.
Always have them.
Hey, me too. It's just bumps and scrapes, Zane.
I know.
Still, he stroked her hair.
But you're going to the clinic. We're taking Bigelow into Asheville, Dave said. Jackie Chan here did a number on him. Broken nose, black eyes, a few loose teeth. Jaw may be broken. His balls are nicely black and blue. Lee's having two officers ride with us. And you,
Dave walked over, framed Darby's face, kissed her on the mouth.
We'll let the clinic know you're coming in shortly.
He walked over to Zane, gave him a hard, one-armed hug.
Don't worry about this. We've got him.
When she stood up, Darby felt some twinges, a lot of stiffness she wasn't ready to admit.
I need a fresh shirt. I need to talk to my crew.
I'll get you a shirt.
Moving's good, otherwise you stiffen up.
He worried he'd snap. Just snap.
Let me take care of you.
You have been from the second you drove up at light speed. Believe me, it made a difference. But okay, you can get me a shirt, then drive me to the clinic after I talk to the crew.
Zane.
Lee stepped back in.
I need a minute.
What? He could see it. See something coming. Darby took a step back.
I'll just...
No.
Zane took her hand, held her in place.
What is it? I got a call from Raleigh. The locals gained access to the Bigelow residence. Eliza's dead, Zane. Probably a few days dead. They'll do an autopsy to determine that and cause of death.
Darby edged in closer, took a harder grip on Zane's hand.
I should feel something, but I don't. Maybe later. I don't want you to worry about this. I'll handle it.
Emily. My grandparents.
I'll handle it.
You take care of your girl, and leave this to me.
He put a firm hand on Zane's shoulder.
Leave it to me.
Dulled, numb, Zane just stood where he was.
I want the details when you have them. You'll get them. You get checked out now, Darby, and I want the details on that. I need to take some pictures of your injuries.
Sure, fine.
I'm going to go up. Get her a fresh shirt.
Nodding, Lee took out his phone.
You let him take care of you now, you hear? It'll help him.
She'd seen Zane's eyes go blank, felt the absolute stillness in him. We'll take care of each other. Chapter 19.
While in odd synchronicity, the doctor who lived in his old house treated Darby, Zane walked over to Britt's office. He caught her before her first appointment, and her surprised smile of greeting faded when she got a good look at his eyes.
You need to sit down.
Grams. As she did, she pressed a hand to her heart. Pop.
No, it's not that.
Fast was usually best.
Eliza's dead.
Oh. As her hand dropped to her desk, Britt's breath came out long, shaky. I'm not surprised. How could I be surprised? He killed her.
That's not official yet, but of course he did. There's more.
While he told her, she stood up, walked to the window, and circled the room, her hands clasped tight. It shouldn't have surprised Zane how strong she was, but it constantly did. Her voice held just a touch of pity when she spoke.
He could have lived his life. They could have lived their lives. But it wasn't enough for him. We took everything that mattered away from him. That's how he saw it. The only way he could see it. We had to be punished. He meant to kill you this time.
And Darby, just because she was there. Because she was with me. He'd have come for you if he could.
She didn't flinch, only nodded in agreement.
Yes, you first, then me. Then Emily, Lee, Dave, very likely Charlene and Joe because they had the house he'd see as his.
She leaned a hip on her desk.
I'll tell you, he'll have a list, either written down or inside his head. Everyone he deems responsible for what he lost. Lee should check, make sure he came here first. I think he would, you'd be priority one, but Lee should check on his lawyer, the judge who sentenced him.
Christ.
In opposition to her admirable calm, Zane raked his hands through his hair.
I should have thought of that. Lee probably has.
I'm surprised you can think of your own name with the morning you've had.
You'd have stopped him, Zane. He doesn't know the man you are.
Darby did stop him. He doesn't know the woman she is.
Darby, God!
Britt scrubbed her hands over her face.
Charlene's a good doctor. If it's any more than bruises and scrapes, she'll find it. Treat it. I want to see her, but damn it, I don't even know what to say.
You'll think of something.
He found himself able to smile at least a little.
It's what you do.
I should reschedule my appointments. Emily might need me. She was Eliza's sister. And Graham's, Pop. No matter what, she was their daughter. Oh, God, Zane, what are we going to do for them? What can we do for them?
We'll figure it out.
He drew her in, held her.
We'll figure it out,
he repeated.
We came out okay, didn't we, you and me? We got through worse. We'll get through this, and so will they.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you came home.
She squeezed hard, drew back.
I thought of something. I have something that may help Emily, Grams, Pop. Something good.
I'll take it.
I peed on a stick this morning.
Baffled, he squinted at her.
Why the hell would you?
Then his brain clicked.
Oh, seriously?
Positively, you could say. I haven't even told Silas yet because he was, well, you know where he was. I wasn't going to say anything to anybody but him for a few weeks, but hell, if not now for happy news, when? We wanted our kids close, and we rang the bell.
This is great. Britt, this is just amazingly great.
It shows who we are. We're making our lives, living our lives, both of us, Zane. Yeah, we're okay.
They couldn't take who we are away from us. We're who we are despite them.
Despite them, Zane thought. And in some ways, because of them.
He worked his way back to urgent care and while he waited, contacted Maureen. She'd have heard plenty over the grapevine, but he filled in some details, let her know he was fine, Darby was being looked after, and asked her to handle the insurance claim, reschedule his appointments. He'd get in when he could. Darby, looking mildly annoyed, came out along with the pretty, pregnant Dr. Ledbecker.
You're Zane. Charlene. And you're in charge of this one today?
Hey. Zane overrode Darby's objection.
That's right.
No breaks, no torn or pulled muscles. She has some substantial bruising and her shoulder's going to be tender for a few days. Ice, ibuprofen should do the job. No lifting anything over 5 pounds and no digging for 48 hours.
Got it.
The same for her back, her hip. She handed Zane a bag. Some samples of medication for her knuckles and a list of instructions. We'll follow up in 2 days.
She'll be here.
My number's on the instruction list. Any other issues? Call.
Thanks, I'll be fine, Darby said.
No digging, Charlene warned as Darby dragged Zane out of urgent care.
Jesus, she's thorough. I was half afraid she'd bring out the leeches.
Did you see Britt?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, then. You drop me off, then go see Emily.
That's the plan.
Not the whole plan, but the first part. When he dropped her off, he annoyed her all over again by relaying the doctor's restrictions to her horrified, angry, fascinated crew. With the addendum, if they didn't make sure she followed same, he'd kick some asses himself. Then he went to Emily. She sat alone on her back patio, staring off at nothing, but jumped up when she saw him.
I should have come to you,
Stop. I'm fine.
Darby.
Checked out by Dave and the doctor. She'll be fine, too.
He saw she'd shed some tears, was struggling with them now.
You've talked to Lee.
I told him to go on. He has so much to do and nothing he could do here. I need to call my mama and daddy, but...
It can wait.
He folded her in.
Oh, God. My God, Zane, that he would come back here after all these years. Try to hurt you again? Worse? I think worse. He killed Eliza. You know he must have killed Eliza.
I know.
He stroked her back, tried to soothe the trembling, and finally just pressed his lips to the top of her head.
Let go. Just let go.
When she did, the strongest woman he knew clung to him, let loose a torrent of sobs. So he held and stroked and swayed and said nothing.
I don't know why I'm acting like this. You're not hurt. Both you and Lee told me Darby's going to be okay. I need to go see her, but... And that bastard is in custody. In the hospital, thanks to that amazing girl, and in custody. We're safe. We're all safe. My family's safe.
Your sister's dead.
Oh, Zane.
She drew back, swiped her hands at the tears.
I can't even bring her face into my head. I can't see her.
Sit down. I'm going to get you some water, some Kleenex.
He brought out water for both of them, nudged the box of tissues in front of her. She pulled some out, blew her nose, wiped her face.
We never bonded, she said at length. We always seem to be at odds. A lot of siblings are at odds at various times. Jesus, Gabe and Brody went through a couple periods where they weren't happy unless they were bickering or picking on each other. But there's a bond between them. Eliza and I never, never had one.
You're opposites, Zane put in. You never had anything in common.
I never loved her. At least I don't remember a time I loved her. I'm not ashamed of that. It's not my fault.
No, it's not. So why are you feeling guilty because you didn't love her?
Emily let out a sigh.
I don't know. Honestly don't.
She reached down to pet the dog that sat loyally at her feet.
But I am sorry I didn't love her. Couldn't love her. I'm sorry she's dead, and sorry her own choices most likely led to her death. I'm sorry for the grief my parents will feel because they did love her.
He took her hand.
We'll be there for them. That's who we are.
And we'll do our duty.
Have you talked to Britt?
Yeah, she's all right, too. In fact, I should probably let her tell you, but I'm going to spring it. She's pregnant with your next grandbaby.
She...
The tears spilled again, but Emily shook her head, pointed at her face.
Good ones. Really good ones. It's not just life moving on, Zane. It's life thriving.
She laid a hand on his cheek.
And that's just what we'll do.
Zane would move on, and he hoped like hell to thrive. But he had business to finish first. When Zane arrived at the hospital in Asheville, Lee was waiting for him outside the ER.
I figured there was no point telling you not to make the trip.
No point, Zane agreed.
I'm going to let you talk to him, after I do. Right now they're putting him in a room. They want him here a couple hours before we transport him back to Raleigh.
That's time enough.
It is.
Lee put a hand on Zane's shoulder.
Let's walk a bit. It's a lot more peaceful out here than it is inside. Don't know how much he'll have to say.
Zane stuck a hand in his pocket, gripped it around the baseball he'd put there.
Has he asked for a lawyer?
Not yet, but seeing as they wired up his jaw, he's not doing a lot of talking. Fixed his nose, from what they tell me. Did their x-rays and whatnot. Seems like she bashed his balls real good, too.
I need to buy her flowers. A lot of flowers.
Lee smiled, then let out a sigh.
I can't be sorry she did a lot more damage to him than he did to her. So while we're walking here, I'll tell you what we've been able to piece together.
He killed Eliza. There's no question of it.
I'm not arguing, but we need the autopsy results. I can tell you he had a job at a medical supply store and called in sick a couple days. Statements from neighbors say they saw him in and out up to Saturday, but hadn't seen her since last Thursday. Next door neighbor saw her step out into the backyard Thursday afternoon before he got home. Not since.
So he killed her Thursday night.
I expect so, but we'll wait for confirmation. I've been in contact with the detectives in Raleigh. It seems his supervisor didn't report him when he didn't show up to work yesterday as he called in sick. Sundays and Mondays are his days off.
Zane nodded.
So he likely left after work on Saturday, took his time getting here, probably used back roads, paid cash for rooms, for gas, whatever. They're working on tracking him. So are we. We've got him staying two nights at a motel off 40. Confiscated an iPad, some cash from the room, a notebook, the paper kind. More cash in the car he parked at the scenic pullout below the road to your place.
Lee scratched his chin.
A lot in the notebook, starting with a list of names.
Britt nailed it, Zane thought.
His revenge list,
I'd say. Lots of details on just what he held against the ones on the list, what he knew about them, where they lived, what they did, ideas for how to pay them back.
Me, he'd want to beat to death.
You?
Lee walked on a bit more.
I'm not telling this to Emily or the boys. There's no need for it. His top choice there was to set our house on fire with us inside.
Jesus Christ, Lee, he lost his mind.
Zane held up a hand, shifted to the lawyer, the prosecutor.
Whoever takes his case will try for that. Try an insanity defense, but I'm telling you it won't wash. Calling in sick to buy time, the broken window to draw me away, the cash, the careful planning. Because you bet your ass he planned every step. He won't meet the bar for legal insanity.
Zane worked it out in his head.
He left the stuff in the motel because he wasn't done with it. He planned to go back, check out after he took care of me, of Darby. Unless he...
It wouldn't have been enough, Zane thought, ignoring the sound of oncoming sirens as an ambulance pulled in. It wouldn't have been finished.
He's always been an arrogant son of a bitch, Lee. He would have planned to go after Britt, Emily, and your family, Dave and his, anybody in Lakeview on his list. We're all to blame, and he'd have wanted to deal with all of us before he moved on. I'm not arguing there either, but he'll never get the chance now. Crazy or sane, he's going back in, Zane, and he won't be coming out again.
Let me sit in on your interview. I won't say anything, Zane continued quickly, and if he objects to me being there, I'll leave. I don't think he will. You want a confession to wrap this up right and tight? Let me sit in.
Lee paced back and forth a minute, fought a brief internal war.
Here's what I'll do. You sit in, you say nothing till I'm done with him. He wants you out, you go out. You mess up my interview, you and me, we're going to have a long, unpleasant conversation.
Won't be necessary.
I appreciate it, Lee. Well, come on then. Let's see if they've cleared him to talk, such as he can.
They'd made some changes to the ER over the years, and this time Zane walked in unharmed and free. But the memories rolled back on him, the pain, the fear. His arm ached in response. His throat went burning dry. He said nothing while Lee cleared them through. Nothing in the elevator.
I've got an officer on the door, Lee told him, and Silas inside with him. No chances.
Zane merely nodded. Lee showed his badge at the nurse's station, kept moving.
You go on, take a break, Donnie,
he told the officer on the door.
I'll let you know when we're done.
Sure thing, Chief.
Silas stood when Lee and Zane walked in, set aside the magazine he'd leafed through. This time, Graham lay cuffed with his face a symphony of bruises and bandages. The beeping monitor took a jump, telling Zane that Graham's heartbeat spiked when he looked Graham in the black and swollen eyes.
How about you turn on that recorder, Silas, so Mr. Bigelow and I can have a talk?
Graham's response came harsh and clipped between clenched teeth.
Doctor. Not anymore, and not for some time. You can go on get some coffee, Silas.
Lee pointed to the chair Silas vacated. Zane sat.
This is Lakeview Chief of Police Lee Keller interviewing Graham Bigelow after he's been medically cleared to talk. You've been read your rights, Mr. Bigelow? We've got that on record, too, but it's good to ask, right?
No, my rights.
Good. Now you're charged with trespass, breaking and entering, assault and battery. There's the little matter of stealing a license plate, illegally displaying it on your motor vehicle. You've violated your parole 6 ways to Sunday, so you'll be serving out the remaining 2 years on your sentence before we even get to the other charges I just mentioned.
Lee eased a hip on the foot of the bed in what might have been mistaken for a friendly gesture.
And all that doesn't address the upcoming murder charges. The local cops found Eliza's body, Bigelow. Found it just where you left it, on the floor, the head on a pillow, tucked up in a blanket and covered with a sheet, and with clearly visible signs of physical assault.
Accident.
Is that going to be your line? You accidentally beat your wife to death, left her on the floor, then drove here to attempt to, what, accidentally beat Zane to death?
She fell. Eliza fell, hit her head. Subdural hematoma.
Did she fall on her face first? They sent me a picture.
Lee drew out his phone, kept speaking as he brought it on his screen.
Did she manage to fall on her face, then crack the back of her head? That's some trick.
He turned the phone around, shoved it in Graham's line of vision.
You hit her, and more than once from what they've already determined, and she hit the counter in the kitchen. Her blood's on it.
Fell. She fell. Subdural hematoma.
So you just let her die?
Nothing to do. Too late.
You didn't call for help?
I am a doctor,
Graham gritted out.
No, you're not. You're a violent criminal whose assault on the woman who, for reasons I'll never understand, stood by him, waited for him, betrayed her own children for him, led to her death. We found your motel room, Graham, your car, your tablet. 2 minutes on that iPad showed you've been stalking Zane, Britt, Emily, and more.
Graham turned his head to meet Zane's stare.
What are you looking at? Think you matter? You're nothing. Were nothing. Are nothing. Always nothing.
Rather than respond or react, Zane just let his gaze bore into Graham's. In his pocket, his fingers rubbed against the stitching of the ball.
He mattered enough for you to leave your dead wife on the floor, come all the way back here, push your way into Zane's house and assault a woman,
Lee pointed out.
Nothing. Big house, nothing. Bullshit lawyer, nothing. Sit there too afraid to speak.
Zane kept the stare hard and smiled.
Wipe that fucking smile off your face.
Graham winced as he said it, tried to shout it with the wires holding his jaw in place.
Weak, useless fuck. Should have killed you in your crib, you and your whiny bitch of a sister. You destroyed my life. You destroyed your mother.
Lee caught Zane's eye, gave him a slight nod.
How'd I do that?
Zane wondered.
Disrespectful punk. I couldn't make a man out of you. I gave you life and you ruined mine. I should have killed you that night, you and your little bitch of a sister. Eliza would still be alive. We'd be happy.
You just couldn't stop hitting her, could you? All those years in prison, all those years she waited for you, and you still couldn't stop.
She wasn't the same. She'd lost herself. Your fault.
So after you hit her this last time, watched her die, you came back here to make me pay.
You need to pay. You, all of you.
Rocks through windows to get me away so you could get into the house.
Zane filled his tone with derision, with mockery.
You figured, hey, there's just a woman alone in there. And you're so good at beating on somebody smaller, weaker than you. Then you could lie in wait for me, make me pay.
You take my life, I take yours.
You broke into my home, attacked Darby intending to wait until I got back so you could kill me.
I gave you life. I have a right to take it away. I have a right to make you suffer first for every minute of every day I spent locked away like an animal.
You killed your wife.
I ended the empty woman she'd become. Taking that empty life was mercy. You stole her from me. You should be dead.
Zane rose, crossed to the bed.
I'm sorry I missed the chance to take you on-one, old man. But a woman beat me to it, and she kicked your ass. That must be really humiliating for someone like you, and knowing that is incredibly satisfying. Here's something for you to chew on while you're doing life without parole. A tough, smart little girl ruined your plans for me 19 years ago.